find its end. What had the Bicker said?
Know ye in this death the light of our Lord and the quality of love.
The notion was so absurd, but he almost laughed out loud. He knew what it was to love a father so much, but he would swear to almost anything as the throes of death descended. He knew what it was to love a sister like his own child, and have his heart wrenched clean from his body as she lay dying in his arms. And God help him, he knew what it was to love a man like a brother, and watch helpless as he spiraled down into the clutches of madness and suicide. He knew the quality of love all right, and it was of little comfort. Julian tore his gaze from the grave and looked at Arthur standing rigidly as the gravediggers pushed earth into the hole. Arthur, the peacemaker, the one with the admirable quality to fall into place with any of them. Arthur, who had broken down last night as they drowned their sorrows in a bottle of brandy, confessing he'd noticed the downward slide, but did not understand the depth of Philip's trouble until it was too late. Neither had Adrian. Julian shifted his gaze to their unofficial leader, Adrian Spence, who wore the horror and disbelief of what had happened etched deeply in the lines around his eyes. Adrian hadn't seen Philip slide, he had said, because he had been blind to all but his ongoing war with his father. And while his friends had grieved, he, Julian Dane, the Earl of Kettering, had sat there ruminating, thoroughly numbed by guilt and despair. A fine rain was falling now, but Julian's gaze remained transfixed on the mound of dirt that was quickly turning to mud. It was hard to believe that the man who had been his constant companion since the four of them had met at Eton so many years ago was lying in that grave. God, it was so bloody difficult to understand how this could have happened. How could he have allowed it to happen? Had he been too mindful of Philip's pride, too sure of his strength? Had he not been forceful enough with Philip, not made his concerns clear? Had he perhaps been too infatuated with Claudia? It hardly mattered. It remained, but he hadn't done enough to stop Philip's decline, and death was his reward. The misfortune being, of course, but it was not his own. Chapter 1. Paris, France, 1836.
Aha! He was being smothered by a pair of breasts. That at least explained the strong scent of a woman.
Julian shifted between the two luscious mounds and gasped for air as a most delectable female creature murmured unintelligible phrases in his ear. Unfortunately, even the touch of the little French goddess couldn't raise him higher than half-mast. A crane couldn't raise him higher than half-mast. Damned appendage was nothing but trouble of late. Julian sighed, realized he was still holding a bottle of whiskey, and managed to take a good swig of it before burying his face between her breasts again. A bead of perspiration trickled down his temple, and he couldn't help smiling. Perhaps he just wasn't trying hard enough. As if on cue, sweet Lisette sighed longingly, inflaming all of his masculine senses, except that one, curse it to hell, and Julian attempted to position himself for another go at it. His fingertips brushed a taut nipple, his palm cupped the firm swell of her breast. The cold hands on his shoulders startled him so badly he couldn't even cry out. Suddenly he felt himself being lifted and heard Lisette's muffled shriek as the bottle of whiskey flew out of his hand and scudded across the bed. He caught just a glimpse of the elaborate frieze mouldings on the ceiling before he hit the hardwood floor with a resounding thud. Now that hurt. Wincing painfully, Julian glanced up at his assailant.
"What in blazes did you do that for?"
The response was the toss of his shirt onto his head. He yanked it from his face and glared up at the infidel towering high above him. Louis Renault, otherwise known in this godforsaken country as Monsieur le Comte de Clare. A scoundrel if Julian had ever known one, an insufferable frog with all the manners of a toad, and, most unfortunately, the husband of his sister Eugenie. Unsteadily, Julian gained his feet. With disapproval seeping through every pore, Louis let his gaze sweep over Julian as he folded his arms across his chest.
"Did you come to Paris to make trouble for me? Is that how you repay my kindness to your sister?" he demanded in that smooth, silky way he had of speaking English, and stooped to pick up Julian's trousers.